Today on Real Radio.
We love to watch the Olympics. We love to watch sporting events. And one of the things that you'll notice in a sporting event, especially a team event, is that there will be great cohesiveness. A team will spend time together just to get cohesive, that is, stuck together, where the team members begin to think the same way, act the same way, say the same things. And the church is to do that thing concerning the gifts. And as the church functions that way, it will be a beautiful, beautiful body flowing and moving in the same direction, not a spasm, not an accident waiting to happen, not a bunch of confusion where people walk out of the service or away from the church saying, "What happened?"
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the author of the letter, emphasizes unity among believers. Well, the section we're now exploring is where he expounds a bit on gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called United in the Gifts.
Paul will mention to us concerning gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of anxiety when you even mention the word gifts or gift of the Holy Spirit. And if this study tonight and this series had a subtitle, it would be Growing a Church. Growing a Church. Because God, whenever a church is being established and is growing, God will add to the body those who are gifted in certain areas. And it's amazing how we're going to see this come together over the course of probably the next 6 or 7 weeks. But listen, I want to challenge you tonight. If you are a born-again Christian, that is, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have been given by the Holy Spirit at least one gift, and that is to the edification of the body of Jesus Christ, the church. And that's exciting. You may be sitting here tonight, maybe you've been a Christian all your life, and you're wondering, well, you know, what's my contribution to the body? Well, Lord willing, you're going to find out in the next 6 to 7 weeks. I'm not saying 67 weeks. I'm saying, so don't get excited, though it could take 67 weeks. But we're excited about this. And we're going to get into it with great detail. Maybe at some times we're going to take a real schoolroom textbook kind of approach. You might get kind of boring or dry for you. I'm going to ask you to keep those that are around you awake by pins and needles, whatever it takes. It's so very important because as the church grows, we are going to need to be a people who are understanding and wise concerning the Holy Spirit's desire for us to function as a church. We love to watch the Olympics. We love to watch sporting events. And one of the things that you'll notice in a sporting event, especially a team event, is that there will be great cohesiveness. A team will spend time together just to get cohesive, that is, stuck together, where the team members begin to think the same way, act the same way, say the same things. And the church is to do that thing concerning the gifts. And as the church functions that way, it will be a beautiful, beautiful body flowing and moving in the same direction, not a spasm, not an accident waiting to happen, not a bunch of confusion where people walk out of the service or away from the church saying, "What happened in this last hour and a half?" And that is not glorifying to the Lord. But Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 7, Paul tells us there, "But to each one of us, household of faith, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this," and he quotes, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of ministry. And here's the great purpose of it all, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Well, verse 13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete or perfect man, to the measure of the full stature and the fullness of Christ, that is, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, or we do our share, each of us, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself, that is you and me, in love. I receive in the mail always planning schemes, conference notices, come, and for some reason they're always in the southern part of the U.S. I don't know why. I've just noticed that. Maybe there's no connection at all. But you can see these things, and you get a phone call, and they want us to come to Atlanta, and be in Atlanta, because they're going to have a church growth conference. And they say that if we just sign up, and we go to this week and a half long conference, if we just sign up for $2,000 and spend the week and a half down there, they will guarantee that our church will grow anywhere from 10 to 15% over a year. And I look at this mail, and I just have to ask myself some questions. And I wrote them down, actually. And that is $2,000 to attend a meeting. You know what? First of all, that's a lot of money. And I'm sure the people who are asking you for your $2,000, that they think it's a lot of money, too. That's why they're probably asking for it. That's a lot of money. Second thing that comes to my mind is, to take the time to go down to this place to attend the conference anyway. I don't have that kind of time, neither do you. So we don't have the time, we don't have the money. And then they said they guaranteed 10 to 15% increase over a year's time in your church attendance. You know what, why would we go down there to Atlanta and pay $2,000 and spend all of our time when we're seeing 20 to 25% growth here without the conference, without spending $2,000? Saving our time, rather, as Acts chapter 6 tells us, to be in the Word, studying the Word and praying and teaching, so that the flock of God is built up in the Bible, and when sheep are fed, sheep grow. And a healthy, healthy sign of a sheep is a sheep just running all around town reproducing sheep. And they'll just say, hey, praise the Lord, brother. And, you know, what's got you? Oh, the Word of God's got my heart pumped up. Well, where did you hear such a thing? Oh, you know what? We have a Bible study. Well, I want to come. And sheep produce sheep. And that's how the whole thing works. Not by a conference that's going to promise 10 and 15%, costing you $2,000 and a lot of time. We need to remember the theme of this book, the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, verse 3. The theme is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We either believe that tonight, or we can cut that verse right out of our Bible and throw it away. Has he blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? I believe he has. And we are going to be a church, and we are going to be Christians that are going to take God at his word, and we are going to allow this Bible to operate as governor over our lives. Now, the reason why Ephesians 1:3 is the theme of the entire book is because it's true. And one of the reasons that makes it very, very true is that positionally, we as Christians need not to cry out to God or to reach up into heaven and ask him to send down the blessings and wrestle with him and beg with him. No, the fact of the matter is, positionally, we are already seated in the heavenly places. By the way, God is there. We are down here, yes, in our flesh, doing the work of the Lord, but so is the Lord Jesus by the person of the Holy Spirit in us, so that when He embarks us out upon a ministry, we automatically call upon the Lord, whatever your calling is, whatever your vocation, your occupation, whatever it is, we call upon the Lord, and He'll give us the power to perform it. That is the promise of the Bible. All we have and all that we need to have for true effective ministry is available to us now. Why? The Bible says our Father is in heaven, really reigning not only over us, but I like to think of it being on us. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 9, He says, after this manner, you therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a given. So Lord, whatever you want done, whatever your heart's desire is in heaven, execute that upon the earth. And the Lord's going to use us to do that very thing. And I believe that literally. I believe God will do that. In Matthew 28, 19, because we are positionally seated in Christ and we have the power available to us, and we'll get into this power tonight about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, we have a practical application. That is, Jesus has called us all personally to be witnesses. In Matthew 28, 19, He says to all of us, not the disciples, He says to all of us, go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a commandment of the Lord for us to do. It is true, some of us are senders and some of us are goers, but we need to be involved in that body that is sharing the gospel. Why is this true? And why can we take this literally? Because Jesus said in John 14, 16, and I love this, just before He left and ascended into heaven, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, or comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him, neither does it know Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He shall be in you. That is a key. For I will not leave you orphaned, I will come to you. And so Jesus works through us tonight by the person of the Holy Spirit. His nature, His will, His voice comes to us by the person of the Holy Spirit. And people, if we're going to do any service for God at all, it has got to be divine service. We can spin our wheels forever. We can have a bulletin that is just plump fat with activities, look like a phone book. But if the Holy Spirit is not energizing what we do, we will be spinning our wheels and we will be doing nothing but building wood, hay, and stubble. And so we want the leading of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. When He says in verse 7 here, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, He's calling us to the place to realize that as Christians we have been given a certain place in the body to serve. Some of you know where that is. You know your calling. Some of you don't. That's okay. But what we do must be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the important topic, I think, for tonight. We're going to look at the source or the origin of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I think this is very interesting stuff. I want to challenge you, though, to listen to this carefully for a moment. The Holy Spirit is needed for our work and for His work. We know this. But you know what? We need to be careful not to become callous about the Holy Spirit as a person. A lot of people don't want to even talk about Him. They get all nervous. Maybe you grew up in a church to where the Holy Spirit was mentioned and people just began to just go crazy. I was talking to somebody who grew up in a church, and when they came to verses concerning the gifts of the Spirit or the person of the Spirit, the pastor literally skipped those verses or chapters and kept teaching on. Just literally jumped over the chapter. Couldn't believe it. Why do people do that? For fear. People may be exposed to an unscriptural manifestation of the so-called works of the Spirit. We're going to look at all these things in our Wednesday night study. But the origin of the Holy Spirit and the works and the gifts of the Spirit are so important. For God to receive honor and glory and praise that is due to Him, it is of necessity that God uses His creation. That's us. It would be much easier for Him to just dispatch angels down here to do the work. But He wants to use us. We are powerless. Have you caught on to that yet? How little power we have. We wake up in the morning, we say, God, I'm going to win the world for you today. We step out of the bed and slip on the roller skate, fall on our back, and a word slips out of our mouth. We just got done praying. These things ought not to be. It happens. God, I'm just going to be totally your vessel today. And a thought enters your mind. An evil thought. What in the world is going on? We have no power. That's why we're to be hanging on to the Word and be in fellowship with one another and be in prayer. And to be fighting. And the Holy Spirit will give us the power. God uses His creation. It's really not going to mean much to me if an angel comes out of heaven. Now listen, those of you and I who had our spiritual introduction into the cults. If an angel appears in your bedroom and says, hey, I know the Bible says this, but this is the right way to go the other way. Paul says, don't listen to any kind of angel like that. But you know what? A second thought comes to my mind is, why would I want to listen to the testimony of an angel? Can you imagine an angel saying, you know, let me tell you how God's changed my life. I used to be a drunk. Really? I mean, you're just up in heaven, just drunker than a skunk, huh? Yeah, you know, and that's not going to go over on me. It's not going to go over on you. If an angel shows up on the scene and says, boy, it was really, really bad. It's not that important to me. I want you, want me to confide in one another and to be able to share, this is what Jesus has done for me. Humans, one-on-one, this is what Christ has done for me. And He can do the same for you. We can relate to one another because we come from the same mold. And that mold, now don't get offended and run off your analyst with this one. But our mold is cracked. And that crack that runs through the mold that we came out of is weakness. We have a propensity toward failure. And human history is what it is because of that. That's why we need God tonight. In Revelation 5, verse 13, the Bible says, every creature which is in heaven, which is on earth, which is under the earth, and such are as in the sea. That's a lot of creature. And all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. All of His creation that God has made. What does this play toward us? What role? The origin of the Holy Spirit and the gifting? Well, first of all, realize that the creation is in need of the power, is in need of the presence of God and the giftings of God. All of creation is dependent upon the Lord. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And for your will they exist and were created. Colossians 1:15 says, He is the image, that is Jesus, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That word firstborn simply means the governor over all of His creation. And Psalm 97, verse 6, the heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. So we're going to look tonight at the origin. Turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. A little bit to the left, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And Luke tells us there, concerning the origin of the Holy Spirit and His gifting for our lives. It says in verse 6, beautiful setting, you can just imagine being there on that hilltop. It says, therefore, verse 6, when they had come together, they're all standing there, they asked Him, That is Jesus saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I mean, things couldn't have been going better. This is great. We've got our Lord and the power and all the stuff is going on and the miracles have been going on. And I mean, it's going to happen now. And Peter and James and John and Thomas, and they're all together. They're thinking, you know what? I can just see the hallway now. I'll be like vice president. You'll be secretary of defense. The kingdom's going to be established. And Jesus blows their minds. In verse 7, he says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. He said that 2,000 years ago. Why? Because it wasn't time for them to know the times or the seasons. Paul the Apostle gives us a little backdrop and says later on in our age, he says, concerning the times and the seasons, you will have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself will know. But Jesus says, no, not now. We've got some work to do. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive power. The word is dynamite. Dunamis. When, and only when, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What will happen? You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, that is locally, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. What is the prerequisite? He says, first of all, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Verse 9 says, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud, that is the glory of God, received him up out of their sight. And that departure was the greatest thing that could have happened to those Christians. Can you imagine Jesus leaving? It was the best thing that could have happened. Because on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Answering that prayer of Jesus in John chapter 14, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the world does not receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. That word is para, alongside, and he shall be in you. And that is the Greek word that means to come upon for service, not for salvation, but for service. And so when Paul is talking in Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 16, he's talking about the Christian church being empowered for service.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, where Paul expounds on gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. United in the Gifts is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, speaking of being built up in the faith, that's Real Radio's chief purpose. It's also to present God's scriptural truth to non-believers. Now, of course, from time to time, doubt creeps in, but don't be discouraged. It can certainly be a good thing, especially if it motivates you to find the truth. So because we all struggle with doubt, Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called simply, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Presents 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers. And by the way, whatever kinds of doubts you've experienced, they are likely dealt with in this presentation. Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? The two-part DVD package by Pastor Jack. So this month, for a gift of any amount, in support of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set. Just ask for it by name, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? There's more than one way to get in touch with us. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, or you can give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, that's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.